from the campus of New Hope Christian College. Welcome to Words of New Hope.
Often we go to God, but it's just to worry before God. We worry before people and we worry in front of God. We worry in private, but we haven't really prayed. Oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know my wife. Oh, she spent all my money. God, hey, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Paul. And we say, oh, I prayed about it. You didn't pray nothing.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Some people live under a constant cloud of worry. If they don't have anything to worry about, well, that worries them. Today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us how worry and faith cannot share the same carpool. They're headed in opposite directions. Here he is with another message from his home improvement series, a message entitled Ulcers, Winning Over Worry.
We live in a country that is filled with worry. And what we call worry is unfounded concerns that paralyze us. Because there are legitimate concerns that prompt us to action. Whereas worry paralyzes us from action. Concern mobilizes us to act. Worry paralyzes us from acting. And so we need to know the difference. So today we're going to talk about the unfounded things of worry, where it paralyzes us from action. In fact, you know, they say that 1/3 of all the people in mental institutions are there somehow. Their condition was precipitated by some kind of mental anxiety or stress that was unfounded or real, but they didn't do anything about it, paralyzed them until it got worse and worse and worse, and then it short-circuited their brains, and they end up in mental institutions. Story is about one guy who's there, his name is Manel, and Manel was in the institution, and he was found one morning with his ear plastered up against the wall, listening so intently with the most worried look on his face. He was just all morning long. The attendant came in and said, Manel, what in the world are you doing? Manel said, shh. The attendant thought, what? Shh. So the attendant tiptoed over there and put his ear to the wall too. Listen, real close. Listen for the longest time. And he said, Manel, I can't hear a thing. Manel said, I know. It's been like this all day. Did you get that one? Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, there's so many unfounded fears. Did you know that we live in a society filled with unfounded fears? In fact, I had some research done on the internet on anxiety, because that's what the Bible calls worry, anxiousness or anxiety. So I asked Don O'Brien, I said, would you bring up the websites about anxiety? So she got on one search engine, one now. She typed in anxiety, hit return button. Within 1 second, guess how many websites we have on anxiety in America? Take a guess. This is no exaggeration. 1,580,000. 1,580,000. And it all came up within 1 second. I thought, man, we live in a society filled with worry. Did you know that the leading three medications in America that bring in over $3 billion a year, here they are, tranquilizers, antidepressants, and anti-anxiety medicines. It makes up for 25% of all the prescriptions written in the United States. The workman compensation claims for mental stress in the last decade has risen over 700%. We live in a worrisome nation filled with anxieties. Well, what does God have to say about it? In the New Testament, 27 times the Lord and Scripture says, don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. He says, don't worry about your belongings. Don't worry about what you wear. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what others say. Don't worry about tomorrow. Now, is God saying that there is no problems? The only reason someone doesn't worry is because he doesn't have problems? Is that when you don't worry, when problems are eradicated? No. He's saying problems will be there, But the heart with which you approach problems has to not be a worrisome heart. Because if I approach problems with a worrisome heart, then what'll happen is I will refuse the miracles. I will not be able to entrust myself to God or trust Him at all because I'm so worried. And what happens is it paralyzes me from really appropriately solving the problems. With a heart that's confident, a heart that has wisdom or insight, or at least reasonable. But worry destroys that ability to solve problems. So God isn't saying there won't be problems. He says, don't worry about them. Yes, solve them with the strength that I'll give you. But if we worry, it'll destroy the miracles of God, and it's contagious. Did you know that worry is something we have learned along the way? Look at babies. They don't worry. They learn to worry. We learn that. And many of us at a very early age, we've grown up in environments that worry all the time. To the point where now worry is just a knee-jerk reaction for us. It's the first tendency, we worry. And it's so contagious, so contagious. Stories about a man who saw this job opening, so he approaches this little dilapidated company and knocks on the door to fill this job application. When the sole lone employee comes to the door and he opens the door and this man is hunched over and fidgety and wringing his hands, filled with worry. And he says, I've come to see the owner of this company because of a job that I saw in the newspaper, an opening. He said, I am the owner. He said, I just wanted to see if the job was still open. He says, it's still open. He says, what's the job? He said, well, the only job we have open is vice president. He said, vice president? Yes, vice president. Well, what's the job description? Well, he said, you have to help me. You have to help me bear some of the worries and the cares of this company. He says, that's it? That's it. How much do you pay? We pay $200,000 a year. 200 grand for that? That's it. And the job description just help you alleviate some of the worries? That's it. Just need someone to help me bear all these worries. Oh, that's great. He said, I'll take it. He said, oh, good, you're hired. He said, well, sir, that's a lot of money, $200,000. I'm looking at your company here. Where's that money going to come from? The boss said, that's your first worry. It's contagious. And we've grown up with that until we just caught the worry bug. But what does Jesus say to his disciples? Let's read at the top of our notes. Ready? Go. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, so I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or clothes to wear. Can all your worries add even a single moment to your life? Of course not. And if worry can't do little things like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? He said, well, Wayne, worry's a reality of life. Uh-huh. Well, what is worry? Is it a signal? What? Yes, it is. I'll tell you what, worry is a signal that a change needs to take place. Would you write that in? A change needs to take place. But it's a symptom. A change needs to take place. You can't be careless of your ways, the Bible says, because if you do, the careless ways of a person will cause you to die. So there, if you are careless, there's going to be problems that crop up. Well, when I start to worry, what does that say? Well, it just signals that a change needs to take place. Something's out of place. A relationship that's broken, a selfish desire to control something that needs to be readjusted, a perspective that's wrong, faith that needs to grow, parent that needs to disciple their children better, and we've procrastinated and all the things that God has spoken to us, we've ignored, and now we've got this problem and we worry. It's a signal that something needs to change, but that's all. Well, you say, well, I know something needs to change because I'm going to worry, you know, I worry about this or worry about that. Yeah, I need to change some things. But what do I change? How do I change? Well, that's where we must go to God. But the Bible says when you go to God, you don't go to Him in worry, you go to Him in prayer. Often we go to God, but it's just to worry before God. We worry before people and we worry in front of God. We worry in private. But we haven't really prayed. Oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. My wife, oh, she spent all my money. God, hey, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Paul. And we say, oh, I prayed about it. You didn't pray nothing. We got to go to God first, though. Often we go to God last. Isn't that true? We go to God last. We try everything on our own. We try this, we try that, we try this. And when everything falls apart, oh, God, help me now. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's just so late. We got to go to God first, not last. Often we use God like a spare tire. We're cruising on our own, all our own tires. We take roads we're not supposed to take. And oh, no problem, no problem. We flatten the tire. We go out, oh, no, I'm going to get back, oh, no. We go to the trunk, oh, God, help me now, oh, God, God. And we put God on just enough to get us to the next gas station where we fix our tire. Then we take God and we put him back in the trunk. Oh, thanks, God, thank you so much. See you later. We're off on our own. We always go to God last. God is saying, no. If I'm going to instruct you in the ways of God, and the reason worry happens is something needs to change. But if you approach the problem with worry, it'll paralyze you. Well, what do we do, God? I got all these worries. And yeah, you come to God in prayer. But I'm going to do an exchange with you. I want to transfer your worry into something else. Would you write in your notes, number one, take your worries to God and learn to leave them there. Take your worries to God and learn to leave them there. Let's read Philippians 4, 6 together. Ready? Go. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Why? Because in prayer, God begins to help us to learn to trust him. You see, here it is. Someone said, where worry begins, faith ends. Where faith begins, worry ends. But you can't have both. You will choose whether you will trust God or worry for yourself. But you can't do both. Now remember, worry is a learned thing. And so you choose, you have chosen, I have chosen to worry. That is how we resolve problems. That's our resolution of choice, is worry. Often it's because we don't have the courage to actually deal with the situation line by line. And so we'd rather worry. But God is saying, where worry begins, faith ends. But where faith begins, worry ends. And we need to trust God to help us to solve the problem, not just worry about it. Remember, it's the heart set with which we approach problems. That's what God is talking about. And so he talks about trust. Let's read what it says here in Psalm 22, a great scripture. Ready? Go. In you, our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried out to you and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. It says, in you our fathers trusted, and the result was God what? Delivered. Listen carefully. In order for God to deliver you and me, we must what? Trust him. That's right. If I don't trust God, no deliverance. In order for God to deliver, I must learn to trust him. Now, it's a choice I have to make, because often my flesh is saying, no, I can't trust God. You got to worry. You've learned how to worry well. Practice it. And your flesh is screaming out. The circumstances are screaming. Now, I must make a choice. Either I'll say, Lord, I trust you, and I'm going to let you do the worrying, and I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do to solve it. Or I'm going to say, God, you do what you have to do, and I'll do the worrying. Now, let's make a deal with God. We do the doing. He takes care of the worry. Otherwise, you'll take care of the worry and we'll expect God to do what we should have done. So we obey, he can worry. Otherwise, you'll worry and tell God to obey you. You see, it's a choice we make. You're either going to pray and trust and not worry, or if you're going to worry, don't pray, don't trust. Because you can't do both. You got to make a choice, one or the other. It's like saying to somebody, hold your breath, but breathe. You can't. You got to choose which one. Eat, but fast. You got to do something. And so I tell my wife, honey, and when she worries, I say, honey, if you're going to worry, don't pray. But if you're going to pray, don't worry. You got to make a choice. And would you write that in your notes? If you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. If you're going to pray, don't worry. But if you're going to worry, don't pray. One of those. I can't remember which is which. But But it's one or the other. I've been hanging around Camaro Cordero too long. I'm not going to remember but now. But you know, every miracle began with a problem. So God knows that we're going to face problems. But what God is saying, worry paralyzes you from acting. So what God wants to do in prayer, he's going to delineate some instructions of what to do, how to be reasonable, how to work this out, how to talk with this person, how to counsel this, or how to do this or do that. But if I worry, I will not hear any of those instructions, nor have the courage to follow through on them. That's why God says, instead of worry, come to pray, because I will tell you what to do. And when you do what I do, then you will begin to see the miracles of God. He said, Wayne, sometimes though, there's always still this nagging concern thing that just this tendency to worry just bites me all the time. I got to hang on to something like an anchor, even though the currents are changing and the circumstances are yelling and I've got a choice to make, either worry, get depressed or despondent or anxious, or pray and do what God asks me to do and let him give me the courage to do that and then leave the results to God. But boy, I tell you, I want to make the right choice, but it's so hard. What do I hang on to? Well, would you write number two? Receive a promise from God. Receive a promise from God. The Bible is filled with over 7,000 promises, and many of us don't even know one. It's at the times when we face problems, you need to have a promise to hold on to. A promise of what God has spoken to you about. Receive a promise from God. Let's see what God says about the promises in Joshua 21. Ready? Go. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. So that tells me that God's promises are all reliable. 7,000 of them. The question is, how many of those do you know? You've got to have an anchor when the currents are shifting. And when you don't know what is sure, I don't know what's sure anymore. I don't know what's sure. I'll tell you what's sure. Let's read the next one. Ready? Go. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. What is that? The testimony of the Lord is what is God saying about the situation? If you sat with the Lord himself in the chair next to you and you said, Lord, what should I do? What God says is what's sure. That's what you can hold on to. And you hear what he says and you do it and leave the results to him. You and I are responsible for obedience. He's responsible for results. We are responsible for obedience. He's responsible for results. But often, we're trying to hang on to or control results without being obedient. So we worry instead. No, God, what are you saying about my marriage? What are you saying about the relationship? Lord, I want to do it your way. And often God will say, the reason the problems happened because you violated this principle and that. And what I've told you before, you ignored and procrastinated, and now it's built up to what you have now. And at that point, we get to confess, repent, and become wiser. So then God delineates some instruction, and when we come through this, we come through it better and not bitter. How often we come through, and if we don't obey God and hear his instruction, we just hit that same wall again and again until it blows up. Second verse, same as the first. I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. It just goes again and again and again and again. And so God says, receive a promise from God. Make sure that you get a hold of it. The scripture says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to God, let your request be made known, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many of you would say, when I hit problems, I need, boy, God, would you guard my heart and my mind? How many of you would say, I need God to do that sometimes? Yeah. See, that's a promise. And we need to memorize that Philippians 4, 7 and 8. Right in there. Memorize. That's a wonderful scripture. But is God worthy to be trusted? I am confident and persuaded that he is able to keep with that which I've committed unto him against that day. Even now, I say promises when I enter airplanes. Because I still don't understand how the tonnage of metal gets off the ground so gracefully. So whenever I go into the plane, I always lay hands on the side of the door and I still pray a little prayer. And I claim Jeremiah 29:11. I say, I know the plans that I have for you, Wayne, saith the Lord. Plans not for your crashing, but for your welfare. In order that you might have a future and you might have a hope. I said, all right, God, so I do have a future here, right? Yes, okay, I claim that promise. Amen. And I go and sit down and I'm fine. I say, Lord, I received that. I'm ready to go. And I refuse to worry. With that promise, we take off. I remember once this plane I was on, sitting next to this lady and we were eating, and I was so starving that day and I just wolfed down my food. Just then, the plane hit some pockets of air and it dropped about 50 feet and whammo, and food went all over the place. Luckily, I'd eaten mine all up already, so I was fine. But bang, and she said, this scares me so much. I don't think we're gonna make it. I said, we probably won't, so could I have your cookies?
Dark clouds are a blessing. When the earth is dry, too much sun can make the roses die. Lightning, thunderstorm, rain, and then such peace. The air is fresher. Storm has washed the sky. You really can't know peace till you've tasted war. You can't know. When the earth is dry, too much sun can make the roses die. Lightning, thunderstorm, rain, and then such peace. The air fresher when a storm has washed the sky. When the earth is dry, too much sun can make the roses die. Lightning, thunderstorm, rain, and then such peace. The air fresher when a storm has washed the sky. The air is fresher when a storm has washed the sky.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Ulcers, Winning Over Worry by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Tomorrow, the conclusion of this message, Ulcers, Winning Over Worry. We hope you'll join us. Until then, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.